Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf Peibet. So we just had a machlokas yesterday when we were talking about the shita of Rabbi Yehuda versus the Tanakama over here, which Rabbi Yochanan was trying to use as a proof that pieces of meat are not batel, because they're sometimes counted. Reish Lakish's counter to that was, we're talking about dissolved cholent meat, and therefore, of course, it's batel. But I was talking about the fig cakes, which are not batel because they're not dissolved. And then you asked me, well, what about Rabbi Yehuda, who says it can't be batel? That we said we dismissed, and that was because of a different issue entirely, which is min b'minoy loy batel, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Tosfos, as we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda only says min b'mino lo batel when you're talking about things that are dissolved. If you have pieces, it doesn't talk about min b'mino at all. Okay, to be discussed. Now, today, we want to be medayik that if Reish Lakish is understanding that the case over here is talking specifically about cholent meat, which is overcooked and has become nimoach, then what are the implications of this braita according to the way Reish Lakish understands it? That what? If it were not dissolved meat, it wouldn't have been in a cholent. It would have been a piece of meat. What would be the din? Reish Lakish is claiming that lo ta'aleh, it's not going to become batel. So then can you explain to me why in the world would the braita stress a contrast between a case where you have chatas meat and another case in the Sefer where it's mixed with chulin? Why did you have to change the entire case, switch from kachim into chulin? You could have simply said, you want to contrast where it is batel, where it's not batel. Very simple. Say in the Reisha, if you've got overcooked cholent meat, so then it will be batel. But in the event that it's a piece, it'll never be ayla. That's what it should have said. So then instead of saying, you should have simply changed the case within the din of the chatas meat, not by changing it to chulin. All you needed to say is, when does the Tanakama hold that chatas meat will become batel only if it's cholent meat? But if it wasn't cholent meat, then it's never going to become batel because these are things that are sometimes sold. And you, Reish Lakish, you owe things that are sometimes sold by number, usually I should say, sold by number, that's included in Kol Shedarko Limanos in the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir, right? Does that explain that? Answers the Gemara by referencing back the list of elements that we spoke about yesterday in the introduction to the sugya. There's a difference between Torah things becoming batel in Torah things versus Tomei things. And therefore, the Tana wanted to teach a bigger Chiddush that even if we're dealing with two Torah things, which is Chatas Tohera in Chulin Tohera, even so we will not be Mevatelet. If it was Tomei, you might have thought the reason it's not batel has to do with the Chumrah of Tumah, which in fact, in places where there's a Machlokas bridge, between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the Gabe Truma, that would be true. So over here, we want to get around that. Okay, so now I don't understand. Excuse me. So according to Reish Lakish, can you explain the way we understand it now that we're talking about cholent meat? So then why is the case different? If it's cholent meat, why would we not be mevatel even in the second case where you're talking about mixed meat of Truma, chatas and chulin? It's cholent meat. Ah, says Rav Shusha Bar Gravidi, I'll explain to you. The case of the chatas meat mixed with the cholent meat, they're both cholent meat, is talking about a chulin where there's an issur d'oraita. What's issur d'oraita? You want to be matrit for non-kohen. That's an issur d'oraita, man. Heavy duty. Masha Inkein, the ratio, which was talking about chatas tamea, in Chatas Tahora. You know what that was talking about? Yeah, it was talking about Chatas Tamea, but you know what kind of Chatas Tamea it was talking about? It was talking about where you had Mashkin that were Tamei, and they fell on a Kli. Can Mashkin be Matami a Kli? No, because the Kli is only Mekabel Tuma from an Avatuma. And Mashkin cannot be an Avatuma. But is there an Isser a Din Darabonin of a Gezerah that Mashkin are Matamin Kalim? Yes. That Gezerah was based on the fact that there are Mashkin Shel Zov. I mean, what if a Zov sneezed on it? Then it would become Tomei. Whatever. Okay. So what we're talking about over here, Mashkin Tomeim, which is a Darabonin, made a container Tomei, and then we cooked up the cholent of the Chatas meat in that pot. Okay, so the whole problem was only an Isser Darabonin. But the Seifa, dealing with the Chatas meat mixed with the Chulin meat, over there, it's a Diraita because we're going to allow a Zar to eat from it, you see? So therefore, it must be a difference. So what we're saying is, yes, we are talking about Cholent meat. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Min Bimino even so. But if you're talking about only a Darabonin, so then, if that's the case, Liba de Tanakama, things that are Osir Midiraisa, those are things that we say, are ready to say that Min Bimino should not be bottle on. But things that are only Osir Darabonin, that's not a problem in Min Bimino. Masha'inkin in the Seifa, we're talking about a Diraisa, we, the Rabbanon, also hold of Min Bimino as a Gezerah, that Min Bimino is not Batal. And in fact, this din of Min Bimino not Batal is anyway a Gezerah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see about that, but there are special cases of Kachim Dam and so much we'll learn out from the Pus. All right. So you're saying that we're only talking about a Tumid Rabbanon in the Resha. So what would be the din if it was a Tumid Diraisa? Let's say a dead Sheretz was found in it, huh? So then we'd be talking about a Diraita. So then you agree that it will never be Bato. So then wouldn't you have to change the whole thing to be talking about a case where it's Kochim and Chulin and it's a Diraita? You could be talking about the same case, substitute one element without changing the whole thing into a Chulin and say, Bameh Devarim Amurim. Let me just say that inside. Instead of saying the Sefer Aval Chaticha Shochata Torah Shnitarva B'Mei Chatichot Shochulin Torot Lo Ta'ale, all you should have said was Niflor B'Nidah. Take the same case without substituting a new element, namely Chulin, and just say Bamed Vorem Amurim. When does the Tanakama say that the Chatas meat becomes bottle when it is cholin? That's only when it was originally Betumas Mashkin. The Cholin pot had become Tomei from Mashkin, which is the Gezerah of the Rabbanan. But in a case where the Cholin pot was Tomei Diorita, so it touched a dead Sheretz, that would be completely different. Over there, we would never say that it was Bato, because Min Bimino Lo Bato, even according to the Tanakama. The fact that I now have to create a whole new case of Chulin shows that what you said is not true. And there would not have been a difference. And therefore, that can't be the explanation that it's a Drabonon, because then all we needed to do was contrast a Cholent pot, which became Tomei through Mashkin, versus a Cholent pot that became Tomei through Sheretz, right? Why would we have switched the entire case into Chulin? And of course, we give the same answer that we gave before. The Tana wants to teach you this big Chiddush, that there's a bigger Chiddush, that something which is Tohar would not be Batel in something else which is Tohar. So we had to talk about the case of Chulin versus something Tomei would not be Batel in something which is Tohar of the same. But that is not as big as a Chiddush, because that's a Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, whether that additional element would have needed to be taken into consideration. Fine. I say, says Rob, I have a whole different explanation. This is like, whew, boy, your explanation is tough. You got to know everything about everything. I say, look, remember that the whole thing is basically a Darabonin, right? So the Reisha, which was talking about a Chatas that was Tamei, it's talking about its Tamei Diraisa. Forget about it. You're right, 100%. We would have made the difference between Sheretz and between Mashkin. I don't go for this thing that we're talking about. A case Dafka was Tamei, a Cholin pot that was Tamei from Mashkin. Tomei Diraita. But the point over here is that the Isser, what's going to happen? Someone, you're going to say, well, what if it's not really Batel? Somebody's going to eat a non-Batel piece of Chatas meat. What Isser is there in eating a piece of Chatas Tomei? It's an Isser Lav, correct? That's all that it is. only an Isser Lava, but Sarah Sher Yiga, Bechol Tamei, Lo Yeachel. Lo Yeachel is an Isser Lava. Is there an Isser Karas of eating Basar Chattas that was Tamei? No. But the Seifa, which is talking about an Isser Karet, over there, I need to show that we would be, to say we're going to be matir something that is an Isser Karas, which would be if we would change it into a person who is eating. Here we're talking about Basar Kachim, and he is Tameh. And the question over here, remember, we're talking about the Chatas with Chulin, which would be mutter for a Zar, and for a Kohen, and is only also for a Zar. So if we would be matir it for a Zar, we're talking about a Karas. Well, that's a serious thing. And over there, I would actually have asered in that case a min bimino. So a seifa is Isser Kares. So therefore, I had to tell you now this chiddush. And therefore, there's a big difference between the Reisha and the seifa. What? Rabba is the one who says there's never a difference in a gezerah between something that's an Isser Lav or an Isser Kares. What? He said, Kol b'diraita, if you're talking about an Isser diraita, I don't give a hang if it's an Isser Lav, if it's a Kara, it's an Isser Misa, it's always the same. What kind of weird answer? Rabba, you're forgetting what you yourself said. Okay. Kasha, that's a problem. All right, so let's try another explanation. Ravashi says, I got another explanation, the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is talking about a dover she yesh lo matirin. Why should we need to be mevatel it? All we need to do is, even if we wouldn't say, let's say, we would say it's not but, okay? So then we would say that for a Kohen, what's the halacha? The halacha would be that there, it's not going to ever become mutter, right? So because of that, we're going to be mevatel it. Because we have no choice. Pasha ain't came in the seifa. Let a Kohen eat it. It's only usher for, if we're talking about Basar of Chatas in Basar of Chulin, we're saying, right? Okay, so then it's a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. A Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin means something that could be eaten without Bittel. Why use Bittel? So let the Kohanim eat it, and that way we won't need to be a Bittel. And that's why Reish Lakish understands the seifa to be talking about, yes, not being mavata, the case which in the ratio we were. Because kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, the klal is, anything that has matirin is not batal, even one in a thousand. I must point out to you, though, this Ravashi thing, garbage. Absolutely, it's got to be a fake. I mean, nobody would say anything like that. It's insane. This is not the explanation of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is, I can find someone in the world that can eat it. Davar sheyesh lo matirin means that the one who is not allowed to eat it can eat it if he just waits, like the Beitz or Shanol de Biyamtev. How could this be a davar sheyesh lo matirin? We're going to tell the guy, no, you can't eat it. Give it to a Kohen. What? I want to eat it. So, I mean, that's not a davar sheyesh lo matirin because, look, Laman, who are we talking about? To a Kohen? To a Kohen, it was always mutter. Doesn't matter now. Nothing happens. Mishra Shari anyway. According to what? We want to feed it to a Yisroel? It's never going to become mutter to a Yisroel if we just sit around. You're going to sit around for 100 years and Yisroel is not going to be able to eat this chattas. So therefore, unless we're going to be mevatel it, then he's not going to be able to eat it. It's no davar sheyesh lo matirin if the heter's never going to arrive. Elohad Ravashi bidusahi. Obviously, somebody made this up. It's ridiculous. So that's not the answer. All right. Now, I just want to get back to Rabbi Yochanan's original point. Okay, now, that means we're popping up one level, okay? One level is the essential question. Is Truma Bizman HaZed Rabbanan? Now, we sort of took for granted, right? So now you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan, he had the entire Taina against Reish Lakish, and he was saying that Truma actually is a Diorita. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that Truma Bizman HaZed Diorita, meaning according to Rabbi Yossi. But what about the case of Shtei Kupot? Now, here's the case that we had about She'ani Omer. Remember we discussed that yesterday? Amazing how time flies, right? So we just discussed this yesterday, that the Chachamim say, well, let's rely on the best possible solution. The best possible solution is that the Truma fell into the Truma and the Chulin fell into the Chulin. Now, how could Rabbi Yochanan understand the Truma Bizman Azazet Yoraita if it says in the Baraita that if you have two big containers, you have these baskets, one of them is full of chulin, one of them is full of truma, and then you've got these two bowls in front of them. One of them is chulin and one of them is truma, and somebody dumps one into the other. It's mutter. The chulin is the same as it was before. We don't have to worry about maybe the truma bowl fell into the other one. Why? She'ani omer truma l'toch truma nafla v'chulin b'toch chulin nafal. And as Rish Lakish points out, also according to our discussion yesterday, of course, this is only where there is a rove, right? So that even if the truma did fall into the chulin, there was a rove of chulin. So the bowl was certainly going to be batel berov, which means that we're certainly talking about a drabana because it's batel berov. So now the question is, do I need 1 in 100? The need for 1 in 100 is a drabana. Okay, so given that it's talking about a drabana, it says Rish Lakish, because it was batel berov, therefore we rely on ani omer. But unbelievably, Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, what do you need a rove for? Even if you didn't have a rove of chulin on the truma, it would still be true that I can say, let's assume the best. Now, you remember the serious issue back in Chelm about exactly the case of the Jew that comes to the Beis Din and says that I actually put honey on a piece of bread. It fell to the ground and it fell with the honey side up. And so he asked the Beis Din, how is it possible that for someone living here in our matzav of pogrom-ridden Chelm, that a Jew should drop a piece of bread and it should fall with the honey side up? Something is wrong. So after a number of days of deliberation, the Beis Din decided the famous psak. You put the honey on the wrong side of your bread, you idiot. Fine. So therefore, and of course, Gavi and Alon will remember this from The Power of One. Exactly this story in Chelm, right? Okay, this was Jaime's story. So now, the question over here is, why assume the best when you should assume the worst? So if, according to Rish Lakish, we're assuming the best because we're saying it's batel anyway, midiraisa, so in a derabbanan and an iser derabbanan, they gave you the right and they weren't gozer on it. And they said, okay, fine, so rely on the deraita in this case. Then I understand the case. Bishlam and Rish Lakish. So he holds midirabbanan, it's a rove, right? So, okay, so we have an iser derabbanan, we need the rove, and we have the rove. But how does Rabbi Yochanan understand it? According to Rabbi Yochanan, if truma bizman hazeh zeh d'oraita, so then how, if we don't have a rove, can we possibly say on a suffix d'oraita that she'ani omer truma l'toch truma nafal? That's nuts. What would be the heter? And says Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, I've been talking a little bit to Rabbi Yossi. Remember, it was Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, for heaven's sake. This bride is going a little bit to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that truma bizman hazeh is the Rabbanan. Anadamri Karibi Yossi, and I know that Rabbi Yossi holds truma bizman hazeh is the oraita. How do I know it? I know it from the Braita in Seder Olam, the Tanya b'Seder Olam, Asher Yoshu Avotecha v'Yirishta. And so note that it says over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines Eretz Yisrael as the land Asher Yoshu Avotecha v'Yirishta, meaning that there's only two Yerushas. There's the original Yerusha, which is in the first case of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Knisa La'aretz. That's the original Yerusha. Then we have Yerishta. We have another Yerusha through Ezra. What happened to the next Yerusha of nowadays? Where did that go? Therefore, you see from here that all that exists is a Yerusha Rishona and a Yerusha Shnia, that Yesh Lehem. But Shlishit Ein Lehem, you do not need another level of bringing Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael with the third Yerusha because the Yerusha of Ezra was never batal. And that would mean that Truma Bizman Hazeh remains the Oraita. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Man Tana Seder Olam. Who is that Man D'Omer that is the author of the Brises that we call the collection of Seder Olam? Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, I say, why would you need a Rov? If Aliba, the Rabbi Yossi, then yes, I understand, of course. That would be a deraisa, but I was going to leave it to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan don't agree with the Seder Olam, and they say that it's the Rabbanan. So why would you need a Rov to be Mavato? Reish Lakish, who holds the Rabbanan, holds even in the Rabbanan, we would do the need for Bittul. But even in the Rabbanan, we wouldn't have allowed a halacha of She'ani Omer unless we have first the standard din of Bittul. Now, I just want to say a fascinating aside. And the aside is this. According to Rashi, the Svara, this is a very famous machlokas. People anyway think it's machlokas. And that is, as Rashi explains all over, the inyan of a dover sheyeshlo matirin is, acha tamatiro lechol beisur, wait, v'tochlenu beheter, right? Now the Ran comes up with what seems like a crazy explanation. Unbelievable. And the Ran says that the idea over here is like this, that since something is going to be mutter, it is always similar to a min bemino, because the status of heter is the greatest description of the min. And therefore, min bemino will not be bato, because we're talking about two things that are heter. Now, there are places where that svara doesn't make any sense at all. And there's other places where we need to come on where we have, because that whole svara, of course, is a drabbanan, but midiraisa, the dover sheyesh lo matir should be batal barov, and it says that actually the feirish in the Gemara. So we can only say that halacha of the Ran, legabe dover sheyesh lo matirin, where we're talking about not in cases of tarov, astam. There's other cases, dover sheyesh lo matirin, and we're not going to be soimechan. Forget about the idea of bittul. So it's clear that the Ran doesn't disagree with Rashi fundamentally.
Can maybe please repeat the Ran? I didn't get it.
The Ran says this wild svara, that something which now you want to be mavata, but which tomorrow will be heter, is by definition the ultimate min b'minai. Because the reason that min b'minai isn't batal is because they're the same. But if two things are heter, even though it's only the potential heter, but we view it as being the same, what are you trying to be mavata? Now, the point of the Ran is that, remember, we always have two issues in every Gezeira Derabbanan. There's the what we need to achieve, and there's the how we go about achieving it. The Rabbanan, the Ran is simply saying, and maybe Rashi even agrees with this under the surface, the Rabbanan are saying, we need to answer something which anyway will become mutter tomorrow. That's great. That's a laudable thing, Rabbanan. Thank you very much. But what mechanism are you using to create that issur? You can't create issurim out of whole cloth because it ought to be issur. What din in bittul are you using to create that issur? That, says the Ran, I'm using the mechanism of min b'mino. So remember that the machlokas we've been discussing over here is the question of whether in the story of the two boxes, large boxes, baskets, one of Truma and one of Chulin, and then we had two bowls, one of Truma, one of Chulin, somebody dumped one into the other one, and we have a right to assume Shani Omer, that the Truma fell into the Truma and the Chulin fell into the Chulin, and Reish Lakish said, but this is only in the event that it was bin batal barov for sure, because that way we're only dealing with the Rabbanan, because it's the Rabbanan who required more than bittul barov, and they required bittul in 100. But otherwise, you wouldn't be able to rely on this, which come up with this idea that you can be Seimechan Shani Omer. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said that, no, actually, you don't even need a Rov. So in other words, since he holds that the din of true, we're dealing over here with the din of a Drabbanan and a Truma, Bizman Hazeh, if it's Drabbanan, so then there would be apparently no need even for Rov. But is that true today, the Gemara wants to know? Are you telling me that for Sovar Rebbe Yochanan bit Rabbanan lo bein aruba? That what, just because it's Rabbanan, so then we don't even have to worry about Rov? How is that possible? We don't have to worry about Rov. I mean, we know that there's an equivalent question where we have a suffix in a Rabbanan, and Rebbe Yochanan does require Rov, because we have this famous maisa of a story of a mikvah sheyeshwa arba'im sa'a mechuvanot. We have exactly 40 sa of kosher water in a mikvah. Somebody puts in a sa of liquids that are possible for the mikvah, and then he takes out a sa. So, okay, so what happened now? If he takes out a sa, so what we say is, well, the mikvah remains kosher. Why? Because when you added the sa, so then the sa became, so now you have a total of 41 sa. Okay, so now it became a larger mikveh. The additional saw that you dropped in is now bottle to the rest of the mikveh. So when you take out a saw, you're left with 40 saw of kosher mikveh, right? Now, how much can you do this to? So we have over there Rabbi Yochanan been quoted as saying, you can only do this ad rubo. So meaning you can only get up to a maximum of more than 20, you can take out, let's say, 19 sa, 19.5 sa. But you can't take out 20 sa, so you have to leave the rove in the mikveh. Even though we're dealing over here with a psul, again, there's a lot of discussion over here. So if we're dealing with the psul of mayim she'uvim, that the din of mayim she'uvim is a drabonan, Tosis points out that we're dealing with fruit juice over here, so it should be, that should be a psul d'oraisa, then somebody has got a loose wire in their, Mike here. I don't know. I don't see who it is. Okay. So the question over here is, all right, exactly why it is for sure that we're dealing with the Drabbanan and not with the D-Rites. This is a big machlokas. We've shown him about what the Psula Mayim Shuvim, where it's only a Drabbanan. Remember that there's a big difference between water and a mikveh, that me ikar adin, if it's for the purpose of using it, let's say, to make a needle. That's tummy. So do you need 40 saw in one place really for machatim v'tzinoriot? Or that's a gezerah of the Rabbanan that any mikvah has to be 40 saw. So that also gets involved over here because the din of the 40 saw is spoken about in terms of mayim shekol besaroi oilabam. That's about a human. But if you want to put in a small kli, so then there's the question, Bechlav, of the holding of arboim saw is a Rabbanan. So you can see that there's a lot of maneuverability here. What precisely the Drabbanan aspect of it is. But in any event, we're definitely dealing with the Drabbanan. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, look, you can't take out more than 19.9 saw. I mean, you can't take out 20, because if you take out 20, you don't have the rove of more than 20, which would be the rove of the 40 that is left to be mavatal, the puzzle thing that you put in, right? But if we're dealing with the Drabbanan, then why does Rabbi Yochanan say that? By the way, this is true whether you do it piece by piece or whether you do the whole thing. In other words, let's say you put in a saw, take out a saw, put in a saw, take out a saw, put in a saw, you keep doing that. So you have to assume the worst in terms of, okay, well, maybe I took out entirely water, so to speak. So you still would need to be sure that you have a rove there. But even if you're taking all out at one time, so you take out 20 saw at one time, after you put in 20 saw of water, and now you're left with 40 saw, Rabbi Yochanan says that's no good. You have to have left, for sure, more than 20 saw of the original mikvah water. I think that's what it means. I mean, he says ad rubo. Doesn't that mean that you have to leave rov behind in the mikvah, right? Maybe not. No. It means you can't take rubo. In other words, up to rubo, you can go, but you can't take out rubo. Maybe that's what it means. So that Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying, half and half you can rely on. So that's like a suffix. You don't have a rove. And for the Rabboni, you don't need a rove. And then it's like the Shah and the Omer, right? So I'll rely on the fact that the mikveh is kosher, even though I don't have a rove to be samech on. Or you know what? Maybe the whole question is ridiculous. I mean, in the case, of course he holds you need a rove. All he's saying is that in order to say Sha'ani Omer on a Drabbanan, you don't need a rove. That's not what he's saying. So there, since we're dealing with another heter, not the heter of Rov, we're dealing with this heter that the Rabbanan gave you a right because it's a suffix to Rabbanan, so if it's a suffix, and you don't have a Rov to be Machria the suffix, you could still rely on suffix to Rabbanan Lekula and say, well, must be that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. That's a different thing. It has nothing to do with Rov. Anyway, getting back to our machlokas. So we have this big machlokas over here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. That's what started our entire discussion, right? The question of when the Mishnah says, Beferish, that the androgynous who marries a woman feeds that woman truma, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. What did that mean? So Rish Lakish said, well, it means only the truma de Rabbanan, right? Because I mean, it's not a vadai zocher. Masha Enkein, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's not true. That actually Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are saying that he can feed her even truma d'oraisa. Remember, Rish Lakish says even bisman that there's truma d'oraisa. The way that he phrases it, you can't give her chaz of a shok, which means during the time when there's chaz of a shok available, you couldn't even give her truma. Now, the question is that the Mishnah says that an androgynous no say. The mashma'ut of no say means he can be married, meaning a full marriage, right? How can he be married if, according to Rish Lakish, he's a suffix whether he's a male or not? So what do you mean he can get married? Doesn't make sense. Well, Rish Lakish will have to say that the meaning of that is im nasa, means if he went ahead, im nasa, if he went ahead and got married, so then we would be machmer on him that he needs to give a get, because what if he is a male? And so maybe that's what it means. Yeah, maybe, but it's not what it says, is it now? I mean, it says no say. And the word no say, now at this point we think that the idea of it says no say, that means that it has to be that it's actually a complete marriage. And it doesn't mean in the event that he did, we'd be worried about a marriage. To which Rish Lakish says, I mean, look, I mean, if that bothers you, that we use the word, what you think we use the word no say to mean like vada'ut, and that it's a complete thing. So when it says that in the, continues on to say that my aval lo nisa. So what does it mean when it says, but he cannot be married if he is taken as a wife by somebody, right? So, I mean, that certainly does not mean that it's a question of lechumra. It means that even b'diavad, right? In other words, we will never allow him to be in a position to be someone's wife, because if he's a male, so then the whole time they're being over on the issur of homosexual relationships. And how could we allow him to be a wife? So over there, when it says lo nisa, it obviously means 100% lo nisa, even in no matter what, even b'diavad. So then if we're saying no say, so then we also would mean the same thing, no say, right? So says Rish Lakish, no say means if he got married, because lo nisa means even if he got married. So no say means that, like I say, if he got married, not that it means that he got married, he gets married and can get married. Tosfos even suggests that maybe the deek is from no say is mashmi as a mitzvah to get married. So which would vada be lechatchila, because, I mean, it's a drogness on the tzad. So then if you tell me he has a mitzvah to get married, so then obviously you're telling me it's chayav b'pirivirivya and so on and so forth. Anyway, fine. You can understand that there's a number of issues that are involved over here, including the question of if it is a female, then wouldn't there be an issur of homosexual relationships between the two females if he goes ahead and takes a female? So maybe that would be a problem. The Tosfos says that is certainly, we're not going to take that as a problem. Because, I mean, over there, the issue is that you're not supposed to be, the whole thing is not a clear issur. It's that nashim ha-misolalot, like we said before, nashim ha-misolalot, it's inappropriate. So even on the tzad, like the Rambam says, that it would be begeter kemaisa eretz Mitzrayim, because they used to set up marriages, woman to woman, man to man, but that's a different thing. That's set up marriages. I mean, the idea over here is that we're assuming that this is a male. I mean, that's not at all similar to what they did in Mitzrayim. So certainly wouldn't come under that, Bechara, right? Okay, so anyway, so tainas that it means b'diavad. Says the Gemara, no, not true. The two terms can be very different. When you say no say, the mashma'ut is that you actually could go right ahead and get married. No say is mashma lachatchila. When you say lo nisa, means you cannot. Meaning even b'diavad. I mean, those two things are not necessarily have to be mirror images of each other, how you use the word. But says the Gemara, but look at what it says. It says, the Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that an androgynous, if you sleep with an androgynous, you, a male, sleep with an androgynous, you'd be chayiv skila, because we're assuming he's a zachar. Now, what is he adding? If the Tanna Kamma said that he feeds truma, so then he's, and you're saying that it means he feeds truma d'oraisa, so then that means that you're also agreeing that you would get skila for sleeping with him, because you're saying he's definitely male. So I don't understand. Doesn't that prove that the Tanna Kamma indeed did not hold that he's a male? Only Rabbi Eliezer said, no, he's a total male. So what do you mean, no? I also said he's a male. No, you only said that he can be ma'achil him truma d'rabbanan, which is like Rish Lakish. I mean, isn't that the whole point in the Mishnah? That we're saying over here, we get a machlokas whether he is a vadai male or not. So how can you explain that the Tanna Kamma was saying that he is definitely a male? No. The way I understand it, says Rabbi Yochanan, is that everybody holds his vadai a male. What it is that Rabbi Eliezer was saying when he says that you're chayev is the question of how did you sleep with him? That's the question. When he said, I say that he is a male, what he means is you're only chayev if you sleep with him as if he's a male. But if you sleep with him as a female, vaginal intercourse, even if he's a male, la halacha is not going to be machayev you, according to Rebbe Eliezer. That's the machlokas. Not whether it's possible to be chayav skila. So mar sova chayavin, I love skila mishnei mekomot. So the Tanna Kamma holds, no matter how it is that you manage to have intercourse with it, this androgynous, you're going to be chayav because it's male. And we're going to see that we actually have a special remez in the pasuk to cover someone who is literally bisexual. He has both organs of sexuality, and therefore is a different kind of male. That's the point. So mar sovar kizachar. Mashenken Rabbi Eliezer says, you're only going to be chayev in the event that the intercourse was dafka like a zachar, so it was dafka anal intercourse.